And again, welcome. And like I said, you know, there was no music for this sermon here because I could not find a song to fit with this message. So, you know, I tried looking, but, you know, it just seemed like there's just nothing that kind of, you know, lines up with the message. So I just kind of let the music run to the stop and, you know, and go ahead and start just like what I normally used to do before I used to play music. But, you know, like I said, folks, it's just been a wild week last week. And you know, it's like I said, it was just one thing after another, you know, and I was battling, you know, with the streaming software. They was pointing to my internet provider. My internet provider was saying, no, it's the streaming software. They came out, they found some stuff, they fixed it, but yet I was still having problems. But yet they kept saying that their data is wrong, and yet the software people were saying Cox's data was wrong. And it's just, you know, they're going back and forth. And, you know, like I've been dealing with them, you know, for the price I'm paying, I told them, you know, look, this is getting ridiculous. You know, and there's another cable company, it's really far worse than Cox, and I was willing to even switch over to take a chance with them. But I was talking with a Tier 2 supervisor today in communications. She's kind of going to try something. It might not work, you know, maybe we may be wasting. But she gave me some clarity on some technical side of this modem here, which made a lot of sense. So that kind of alluded to maybe this thing might be messing up. So she's going to send me a brand new modem. We got a tech coming out again, you know, Sunday morning. He's going to take a look at this again. And hopefully this may fix our problems, you know. So let's be praying on it, you know, because I've been praying to God. You know, Lord, you know, I'm not trying to point to me, but I want to serve you and do your ministry. But it seemed like it's just the onslaught of the battles. So I'm glad that you're here tonight. You know, Dot, she's probably copping Z's right now. I know her. You know, she's sleeping, so she probably needs to rest anyway. We had a newcomer here, Dwight Lady. You know, I thought she was going to stay here, but she left, you know. But that's good. Y'all are here, so I'm glad that you are here. So I want us to think about something today. As Christians, as we are calling ourselves Christians today, and I kind of mentioned it a little bit last night in Bible studies. And if y'all hear my voice okay, please let me know. Give me an amen to make sure it is doing okay. Because, you know, I made some adjustments on that today too, along with the Discord settings. Okay, well, it looks like it is working. All right. But anyway, as Christians today, we must live in eternity. Or have you really given this any thought of how we should be living? Okay, I get the sign again. I hold it back up. But have you really given any thought of how we should be living, even though we must live in eternity? I don't think many people give that much thought. And I started thinking about this, and this was supposed to be last week's message, but I started thinking about it. You know, we must live in eternity because that's what we hope for. You know, when we look at Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what that really is telling us, folks, that as a child of God, we truly believe and trust in the Word of God, that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. And according to the Bible, you know, when we do breathe the last, absent from the body and present with the Lord, we will be there. That's my hope. I sure hope that I am in heaven. I get to see Jesus as He really is. If not, then I have nothing to lose. You know, that's why I tell a lot of people who are non-believers, I said, look, I'd rather believe in something than finding out that it's real by not believing it. And when I try to tell people that, you know, I said, you know, so what does it hurt if I believe in Jesus Christ that I'm going to have life eternal? I'd rather believe that to find out that when I do die, that is true, I do have life eternal, but I'd rather believe that than to find out that if I do die without believing in Christ, I find out there is life eternal, I'm going to be in the wrong place. So this is why we must think about how we should be living. This is how we should be thinking about this all the time. As I told some dear friends, you know, our mindset should be focused on heavenly things. We should be thinking consistently how to be in God's will. Now, with all that, you know, I kind of threw that out to give you some things to think about. With all that out of the way, about living eternity and everything else. What about the time here on earth? Have you ever given that much thought on how we should be living here on earth? How should we conduct ourselves? How should we let other people see ourselves? Me and my said last night, people are watching you. If you're claiming to be a Christian, I'm going to look at you, because if you say you are a Christian, then I better expect to see the fruits of the Spirit in you. But if you're not demonstrating the fruits, that means you're a bad tree bearing bad fruit. But while we are truly born again, we are real Christians, how about the time that we are spending here on earth? Folks, time is something, pay attention to this, time is something you will never get back. And I guarantee all of y'all can agree with me, because again, I'm 60 years old. Things I have done in the past, that's wasted. Gone. I can't get that back. Lost time. You'll never get it back. So think wisely of what you're going to do. Think wisely of what you're going to say and how you conduct yourselves, how you talk to people. Because I'm telling you, sometimes even with friends, you know, how you talk to people, you may never know if you're ever going to talk to them again. You may never know if you're ever going to talk to a family member again. You may never know if you're ever going to talk to your spouse again. You may never know. Time is something you're not going to get back. Now, I know as of late with many Christian people and some that I know are wasting time and wasting their lives on things that are meaningless instead of doing something productive. I'm sure you can think of a few Christians yourselves who's wasting time on meaningless stuff instead of being productive. I see it every day. I see it in the chat. I see it in the church. I see it with Christian friends. I see it on social media. Many Christians today are wasting time on meaningless stuff, meaningless topics, meaningless subjects, instead of doing something productive. Look, folks, I'll help you out with this analogy. I used to fish a lot a long time ago. And I really loved it. You know, my wife, if she was here, she'd tell you, man, we had the fancy, you know, those Ranger bass boats. Those were the elite of the elite bass boats. Fiberglass, big engine, I mean, fancy console, seats, live well, you name it. It was basically an $80,000 boat. That's what it wound up to be. But, you know, I had all the fishing gear, I had all the tackle, I had everything. I used to get off of work every evening, and I'd be out there fishing every day, every Saturday and Sunday, you know, before I came to know the Lord. But when I came to know the Lord, you know, I didn't fish on Sundays, but I still fished every other day, and I loved it. But I'm going to tell you something. One thing that I did learn as a fisherman was this. This is very important, because if you are an avid fisherman like me, if you really fish hardcore, you will understand what I'm fixing to tell you, folks. It's a waste of time to fish in a spot where fish aren't biting. Wise fishermen who's fishing like bass tournaments like I used to do all the time. Yes, I used to be in bass tournaments a lot. You know, I did it for the money, you know, because, again, when you was in the tournaments, you went to a spot, you had about five or six different, you know, rod and reels with different lures on them, and you tried them out a few times around stumps and logs and grass and everything else. And look, if you didn't get nothing within, you know, I used to waste about a minute, maybe a minute and a half, and if I didn't get nothing, bam, I was on. Moved to another spot. I didn't sit there to try for 15, 20 minutes just to catch one fish. Because when you're in a tournament, there's a time limit on a tournament. You had to do it. You had to move. But this is what I learned as a fisherman. Even when I was fishing catfish, even when I was fishing brim, even when I was fishing for other things, if I went to my favorite spots and nothing was biting, boom, I moved on. And see, the reason why we did this, and the reason why I did this, to give you a little secret, we knew that fish eat at different times of the day in different places. And I explained to you, you know, because a lot of times, you know, when it's real cold in the morning and the sun's not shining on the water and the water's cold, fish comes up to the top. They get near the surface because whatever sunlight comes through, it warms the water up, it warms up their metabolism. But then as the surface water in the midday starts to get too hot, they go a little bit deeper. So you had to learn to figure out where all the spots was at to go fishing. Once you knew that, you became better at it. So to twist this around with us as Christians, why are you wasting God's time on the same old topic over and over and over and over and over with people you meet? If you are a real fisherman or fisherwoman, which I have to use both to be politically corrected, but if you are a fisher of men, and this is what the Bible says, you have to know when to go and gather the fish, and if they ain't biting, move on. But those of you that I know, which I ain't going to mention no names, and those of you who listen to this, I know who you are because I know who you listen to, but I'm sorry to step on your toes, but why do you waste your time all the time on the same old Bible topic over and over and over and over and over and over and over? Every time that I either log in or talk to you, I call you on the phone. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You should be more focused on preaching salvation than any other topic. And sadly, we're not seeing that. We see people on doom and gloom, end times events, Revelation, Trumps, and everything else. Folks, that is ridiculous. As I told the pastor yesterday, we was talking on the porch, why is so many people wasting their time on those events when we're not even going to be around for them? You should be preaching salvation to people right now that you meet. You should be utilizing your time that God has given you to get the gospel out there. And if you're wasting your time on those other topics over and over, and some of you, I know who they are, you better start examining yourself and get right. You see, when we see others who are wasting time and they are dumbing down on our society, who or what now becomes your main priority? Is it Christ and telling others about him? Or are you so stuck on the same old topic all the time, and are you more concerned about that topic rather than that person's soul? And I'm not going to lie to you, folks, because again, that'd be a sin, but I do get agitated when I see people stuck in those end time events. And when they could be preaching to somebody about their salvation. Just think about it. One day you're going to stand before Jesus Christ, and you're probably going to be shown the people you lost because you were so infatuated with doom and gloom, end time events, that the person was lost and went to hell because you failed to preach salvation to them. That's why now, folks, I am so adamant on preaching the gospel. I'm so adamant now of reaching out to people instead of these so-called topics. Look, nothing wrong by learning what Revelation is all about. Nothing wrong with that. That's in the Bible. But that has no concern and no bearing on us, period. The Bible is very clear, and I stand firm on this, and I stand firm on those teachings. We're not even going to be around during those end times events, so it's irrelevant to be stuck on that all the time. It's irrelevant to be talking about bad news all the time. It's irrelevant to be talking about doom and gloom. Folks, you need to quit that. You need to start preaching salvation. Are you wasting your life on temporal things? Are you? People you need to place your focus on Jesus Christ. Time's precious. You're not going to get it back. Time may be running out. We may be close where God is going to come down and get his elect and we're out of here. But as I said, you're going to stand before him in the Burman seat of Christ. And I'm afraid that I found out in the past that I wasted so much time on those useless topics. The Lord's going to tell me, see, Jim, if he had just told him the good news about me, about my love, about what I did on the cross, that person would be here now. And how awful I'm going to feel about that. And I will be judged according to that. You will too. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, I know Lisa, she's having some things right now she's probably going to be dealing with. So we don't know if she'll be posting these scriptures or not. But our reading verse for tonight is Psalms chapter 39, verse 4 through 5. And look what it says. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few hand breaths, and my lifetime is nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Selah. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come to you tonight and submit ourselves to your authority. And Father, I hope those who are listening to this message will hear the gospel preached. I hope that whoever is listening to this message is seeking, looking for answers. I hope that anybody who's ever caught up on these so-called events, useless topic, conspiracy theories, whatever you want to say it is, they need to get their minds off the gutters, off those topics. And they need to start focus more about their family members, about friends and relatives and other people they encounter. They need to start being more like John the Baptist and be that voice in the wilderness and start crying, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what we should be, all of us right now, should be preaching to everybody. This is what we should be talking to everybody about. We should be letting them know about the love of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross while we do have the time. Father, I'm sorry I'm so hard tonight, but you have led me to this subject. This has been a subject that's been weighing heavily on my heart, and this is something that I felt that I need to preach for all those who are doing this, needs to listen and get their head out of the sand. Yes, this may be convicted. Yes, this may be stepping on their toes. They may be squirming and screaming in their chairs right now while hearing this. But you know what? Good, because it needs to be told. If they don't like it, then I'm not being rude, but tough. It has to be preached. It has to be told. I ask of you to be with us for this short little time. Anoint us. Give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom. Give us the teachable spirit and have us open up our hearts. Father, those who could not have made it here tonight for whatever reason, you know what it is. You know what's going on. And I'll leave that into your hands. You deal with it. I'm just going to be your messenger for tonight and preach this word that's laid on my heart. You directed me to this message. There's a reason for this message. I'm just going to do what you called me to do, to be your instrument. Bless those who are here. Take care of them, watch over them, let them know that you love them very much. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. Oh, there's my water over here. Y'all know the title, folks. Wasting what God has given you. Wasting what God has given you. And I know this is a hard message because, again, Jesus has a lot of hard teachings. And many of them could not stand the hard teachings and they walked away. And many folks today still, in this day and age, don't like to hear these hard sayings. But truth is truth. Truth has to be told. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. I'm not an evangelist who is not afraid to speak the truth. Y'all know me. Lisa knows me very good. She knows that I'm not afraid to tell you just like it is. And I will tell you just like it is. Because I've been called by God to present the truth and not worry about people's feelings. Because if this can get you to start thinking in the right direction and get rid of a lot of that stinking thinking, then so be it. But here's how I was led to this message, folks. See, one night me and my wife, we do this a lot, and I'm pretty sure you might too. But one night me and my wife, we were sitting outside. It was kind of chilly at night, and we were sitting by, I got a little fire pit that's on my porch. And during this time we was talking, you know, and I bought a little, I think they call them little Bluetooth speakers. You know, I love this thing because now when I bring this little thing outside and, you know, and it pairs up with my little iPhone, man, I can hear things much more clearly, the music or sermons or whatever I listen. A lot of times when I go sit on my porch by myself, I bring my phone, my little Bluetooth speaker, and I turn it on so I can hear other preachers preach and everything else. And I sit there with my coffee and I enjoy it. But this night during the night, it was at a fire pit, you know, it was at night. It was cool, and we was listening to the music. And a lot of times, we hardly don't say nothing. We just don't talk. We just don't say anything. We just be staring into the flame. And as I was just staring into the flames and all those hot embers of that pit, and you know what I'm talking about. When you look into a fire, if you got a fireplace, when the wood starts to burn, but all those hot embers are breaking apart, but they are burning, you know, and you see them glowing and flickering and carrying on. But I seen them all inside that pit. And my wife just so happened to ask me, she said, "Honey, let me ask you a question." And I said, "Okay." She says, "Do you think that's what hell looks like? And that's what all those folks are experiencing?" And she said, the reason why I asked this, because you know of the rich man in the Bible in Luke chapter 16, verse 24, you know what it says there. And this is what he said. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am anguished in this flame." So with that, when she posed that to me, you know, I had a long pause. I'm like, And I began to ponder on her question. And I looked at her. And I said, "Sadly, yes. This is what I think hell looks like." I went on to say, "You know what, baby? You know what's worse of all than hell itself?" She kind of looked at me, "Well, what's worse off than hell itself?" I said, "Think about it." So she kind of thought about it a little bit, and she kind of said, "Well, I'm a little slow, maybe. I don't know. What's worse off than hell itself?" And I pose you the same question, folks. What is worse off than hell itself? So I told her, "Okay, well, since you're kind of thinking about it, you may not know it, but you'll get it once I tell you, and y'all will get it once I tell you. What's worse than hell itself, folks?" Well, like I told her that night, what about the lake of fire? What about the lake of fire? If hell is just like that fire pit we was looking at with all those embers and everything else, how much worse will the lake of fire be for all those folks who do not know Jesus, for all those folks that you failed to minister to preach the good news to let them know about the plan of salvation? How worse is the lake of fire going to be for all those folks? But you know what's even more worse than that? I told her, I said, "You remember what it says in the Bible?" This is not me saying it, but this is what the Bible says. It says, even in hell and the lake of fire, those who went there will never be burned up. Let me repeat that. Those who are in the lake of fire or in hell at the moment and will be in the lake of fire, they will never be burned up. Wow. They will just be in forever and forever and forever, like what I mentioned to y'all just a little bit earlier about eternity. See, one or two places we're going to be at. We're going to be in eternity with God, or we're going to be in eternity in hell and the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. As Beth just said, so sad. So frightening. And they're going to be forever in torments, because according to the word of God, according to Mark chapter 9, verse 48, look what it says. If you don't understand this, I'll tell you about it a little bit later on when I get a chance. But Mark 9, 48 says, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And in other illustration, folks, the worm is the sinful sinners. But they're not going to be burned up. The fire is not going to be quenched forever and forever and forever in torments. And those of you who are listening right now, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you die tonight, you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. That's not Pastor Jim saying this. That is the Word of God saying this. And later on, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Repent now while you have the chance and ask Jesus to come into your life and save you before it really is too late. I was reminded of a story of another pastor friend of mine. He was saying, you know, he was preaching one day on the pulpit, you know, the church I used to attend, and he was preaching and he felt a strong conviction about some fella way in the back. He said the Holy Spirit was all over him. The Holy Spirit kept telling him to keep preaching salvation, keep preaching, keep on, keep on. Give this guy a chance. Keep preaching, because something about that guy, something about him, he needs to hear the word. He needs to repent. He needs to come to Christ. And he said he extended the service. He extended the call. He went on and on and on and on and on. But finally, the guy just did not want to respond. So eventually, when the guy left the church, just 2 miles down the road, while on his motorcycle, he was hit and killed by a car. He was hit and killed, and he didn't know Jesus Christ. So when I quoted her, my wife, this pastor, is looking in the fire pit that the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. This gave way to more talks throughout the night. And this is why it's so important, folks. This is why I'm preaching this to you right now. And I'm preaching this to you, for those who are listening right now. I'm preaching this for one reason. We, you and I, now need to be speaking more about the Lord and His plan of salvation to anyone we encounter while we have the time. While we have the time to do so before it is wasted. And sometimes we truly don't realize how short life is for folks, because again, I'm telling you right now, you do not know by the time this sermon may be finished, you may get up out of your chair and bam, you drop dead of a heart attack. Or we're going to be going to Walmart later on and we may get hit broadside by a truck. We don't know. But I hope, when I stand before Jesus, I am going to be afraid of all those folks that were lost because I didn't take the time to preach salvation. And I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen to you. Like I said, we truly do not know how short life is. The Bible even said, life is nothing like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. You see, in the past, I talked to people one day, and yes, me personally, I have talked to people one day, and then the following day I found out when I went to call somebody, the person got killed, or person died of a stroke, or a heart attack, and I'm like, wow. And I wonder, did I do my part? Did I even mention Jesus in the conversation? You see, on the day of judgment, folks, for those who do not know Christ, on the day of judgment, it's going to be too late for everything for them. And if they have not heard the good news and accepted Jesus Christ, and as Beth just said, how sad it's going to be for them. How awful it's going to be. Because God's going to tell them, depart from me, you cursed thing, for I never knew you. And what about all those people who you did not take time to speak to them about Jesus Christ versus all those wasteless topics that you were so stuck on all the time? What about that? Well, if they have died and not heard the good news from you, or you wasted your time on doom and gloom and end time events rather than speaking the good news to them, then folks, woe to you, because you have wasted God's time and talents, what he has given you. I'm sorry, but the truth is the truth. You're wasting God's time and talents. You're wasting God's time and talents on these crazy conspiracy theories, on these crazy vaccine theories, on these crazy theories with the White House and the world and everything else. You are wasting his talents on those stupid events. And yes, I will call them stupid, because that's what they are. I'm not calling the word of God stupid, but you are wasting too much time on that when you should be more focused like John the Baptist and preaching the good news to people who need to hear it before it's too late for them. And I hate to tell you, folks, it is going to be too late for them to accept Christ when they die, because it's going to be too late for them to get to know Christ. It's going to be too late for them, because you fail to witness the saving grace that God has to offer. Don't put off doing God's will. Don't waste this time. You see, all this was running through my mind that night, looking at that fire pit and those embers. Then my mind went to thinking about the folks who are not sharing the gospel. And I'm talking about believers right now that I know. My mind started thinking about those folks who are not sharing the gospel, not sharing the good news, not sharing the plan of salvation. They just want to say, oh, well, the end is near. You're going to see this come out of the sky. You're going to see this. You're going to see this. You're going to see this. You're going to get the mark of the beast, this. And you know, a lot of times I want to slap those folks. My goodness, people, what's wrong with you? Most time that turns people off and they get away from you and they don't want to be around you, because a lot of times when I know people who are like this, I am afraid to ask, hey, how's it going? Oh, Jim, guess what? We're getting closer to the end. Oh, good grief, not again. Most times I want to avoid you. Most times I do. Most times I feel like I don't want to log in online and do whatever, because I know what's going to be posted. I know what they're going to say. How about let's talk more Jesus? My friends, we must stop being lazy. We become complacent. We become lazy. We've been caught up in all that junk. Who cares what's going on in this world right now? The only thing you should care about is their salvation. Who cares about CNN News and Fox and conspiracy theories and this and that and whatever? Who cares about this? I don't. My focus now is more on the Lord. Who cares about these so-called conspiracy theories? Who cares about the end time events? I'm not going to be here for them. If you are truly born again and you are a child of God, you're not going to be here again. So why do you shove that topic down those people's throat all the time? Why? Get this through your head. If you are a child of God and you have been born again, then in the end times when they do happen, you're not going to be here. So why focus all that and waste your time talking on those topics all the time? Come on, folks. Why are you wasting your time on that when you're not going to be here? I'm not. I know I ain't. If I die before that happens, then I'm already know I'm with the Lord. And if the Lord does come right now, hey, I'm caught up with him and meeting him and I in the twinkling of an eye. I'm with him. So it's win-win for me. So I'm not going to waste my time no more. Focus on those other things. Yes, they will happen. Yes, they will come. But it's irrelevant for those who do not believe in Jesus Christ right now. You need to tell them about, hey, there is a chance in the cross. And as Beth just says, and as I said that night, as we were sitting around that fire pit, my thoughts again gave way to more sadness of Christians who I know that spend so much time on those topics of doom and gloom and end times events, speculations, conspiracy theories, and hardly ever present the good news or speak much on Jesus. I've been paying attention to you. And those of you listening that I have known in the past that's listening to this message, yes, I've been paying attention to you. And lately, I hardly ever hear Jesus come out of your mouth. Hardly ever. I've been running this chat for 10 years, and I hardly ever see Jesus presented. Hardly. Woe to us, all of us, including me. And like I just said, folks, I hate to say this, but when I see those folks, every time I turn around, when I do say hello or hi to them, hey, what comes out of their mouths? And where do they go? And when they start talking about those doom and gloom events and whatever, most times, I'm going to tell you the truth, I'd rather not talk to you because I know what you're going to say. Most times, I get away from you. I'd rather go sit somewhere and read about Jesus or talk to somebody about Jesus or talk about how I'm going to have life eternal. And these Christians that I'm speaking about, and those of you who are listening, y'all are so infatuated with so much conspiracy theories and end times events and talking of such worldly events that every time I turn around that these Christians are speaking these same topics over and over and over and over and over in our conversation. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's getting old. And to tell you the truth, it makes me again want to slap you upside the head to try to knock you some sense or just to avoid you altogether. Click invisible mode. I'm out of here. People, you do not understand. You're not understanding the seriousness of this. And as me and my wife were talking that night, we was talking that so many are lost. So many are dying, and they're going to hell because many Christians today, they focus on those events, or they're quoting scriptures over and over and over on end times and doom and gloom. My goodness, people, is that the only thing that comes out of your mouth? Is that the only thing that's in your heart? Is it? If it is, you better go get yourself in a corner somewhere tonight, or those of you who listen, you better go get yourself somewhere in a silent place and say, Lord, what have I done? Why have I wasted all your time? Because I can't get that back, but then I need to change. I need to change. I need to start doing it right. And here's the real kicker, which saddens me the most. You're wasting all those talents and gifts that God has given you, and you're throwing it all away for what he has given you because you are so stuck on those topics all the time. And I see great potential in many people that I encounter that's wasting all those talents, those gifts. They have the potential, but they don't utilize it. As Jesus would say, woe to you. Woe to you. My God, people, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And when I was writing this, and I don't know why I was led to this passage, folks. It's just the Holy Spirit. When I was writing this, I was led to Mark chapter 1, verse 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, which says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see it, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So why this message? Why? Well, foremost, if you are one of those doom and gloom folks, or who is always infatuated with end times events, conspiracy theories, then I'm sorry to tell you this, but you need to get your head out the sand. You need to stop. And the reason for this, you're not helping. In fact, you are only hurting the lost by failing to present the truth in the gospel. And that truth is, we find that the gospel is, here we go, that the gospel is the good news, not doom and gloom, no end times. Yes, there are scriptures that do tell us about this, but folks, let me tell you something right now. This is not the main body of what the gospel is all about. The gospel is about salvation in Christ Jesus and what he did at the cross. That's what he did. He died for the sinners on the cross. That's what the main body of the gospel is all about. Salvation in Jesus Christ. Folks, this is not what Jesus came to do. He didn't came to talk about end time events. He didn't came to talk about, well, this government is doing that, that government is doing this, that this science is doing that, that Bill Gates is doing this, that so-and-so is doing that, that Biden's doing this, or this, or this, or this, or this. That ain't what he came to do. This is not what Jesus preached. This is not what Jesus taught. Jesus came to call the sinners to repent before it's too late for them. Look what 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 says about this. And this should be a warning to you. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Y'all remember our Bible verses, abiding in the vine? You see, folks, the world's passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides with him forever. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Wake up, folks. Wake up. Wake up. Please wake up. I'm sorry to be saying this, and I'm sorry to be writing this, and I'm sorry to be speaking this. But get your head out the sand and start telling others about Jesus and what he did for them, and let these people know that he came to bear witness to the truth rather than those so-called events or things of this world. The truth is, and what should be, we should be more focused on, is the truth and telling people that their need to repent and be brought into a relationship with God, period. They are separated from God. They are eternally damned to hell. And if you don't take time to try to talk to that person about the plan of salvation, then you are edging them further. We need to tell them, repent, 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 for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, just like John the Baptist did. What did John the Baptist teach all the time, folks? You read it in the Bible, repent, repent, repent. Oh, no, but the Pharisees have developed some kind of virus disease they're going to release in that village and kill everybody. No, he told them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to tell them that he died for sinners, and if anyone is lost, they can be saved through Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. People, this is the good news that we should be constantly focused on, and we need to tell it to all who needs to hear it and to all who could be lost. It's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to be one of those so-called people who stuck on end times event to put that thing aside and start acting like John the Baptist. Please open your eyes to the real truth and start talking to people about salvation rather than death, doom, and gloom. And let them know they have a chance, and a chance is life with Jesus Christ, and help them see the truth before it really is too late for them. Help them see that Christ died for them. Help them see that he showed them the way. Help them see that while you are here, they have a chance to be reconciled to God. Help them. Help them. And once again, I'm sorry, but you know what? I am really not going to make no apologies about this. But if I'm stepping on your toes, and if you're not sharing the good news, then my friends, you have thrown away what God has given you. You threw it away. You're throwing it away. You're throwing it away. If you're doing this, you better think about this tonight. And you better get on your knees. And you better beg God, God, help me see the error of my ways. Help me see the error of my ways and start doing the right thing. I don't want to be wasting no more of your time. So, like that fire that we was looking at that night, it might still be chilly where some of y'all are at. Go sit by one. Turn off the radio. Turn off your iPhones. Turn off your telephones, TV. Put books aside. Go sit by one of those fires. Think about what I'm saying here tonight in this message. Think about all those lost souls that are in hell and those who will end up in the lake of fire. Think about all the ones who went there because you failed to talk to them about salvation in Christ. Then think about it. What if you could or would just have shared his love and his good news when you had the chance versus the other topics and events? What if? What if? Folks, if you would just take that time to let them know about the plan of salvation, man, we can turn this world upside down. We can turn it upside down. Christianity is not dead. It is us as Christians who are dead. Think about it. Quit spending so much time on doom and gloom and end time, and spend more time on the gospel of Jesus Christ than those end time events. Spend no more time sharing the Lord's gracious grace. Spend more time on the Lord's salvation. Spend more time on eternal life that God and Christ has to offer them while you can. or better yet, spread the word while you have a chance to do so. What do you think I'm trying to do right now? I see one, two, three, four of us. Four of us here in the room. Yes, at times it discouraged me. I wish more was here. But you know what? I've been telling the Lord, Lord, I'm trying to use this venture here to try to get the news out. I'm trying to use this recording to get the news out. Now I'm even going so far and trying to use Facebook to get the news out to them. I want to before it's too late for them. I want to. I'm trying my best. I could be wasting so much time on crazy nonsense topics and conspiracy theories and everything else. I could. But I'm trying. I'm trying to be like John the Baptist. I'm the voice in the wilderness, crying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Spend time and letting people know about God's grace. Make time for the Lord in prayer. Walk with Him daily. The world teaches us it's all about me. This is what the world teaches us, but this should not be. The world tries to cause us to be distracted, caught up in these events. And I don't know if you've been like me lately, but I've been watching very, very, very close. It's been systematically happening. It's been changing. It's been slowly getting into Christianity. We're speaking less of Jesus and more about these events I'm talking about. Why is that? Why is that? We must stop this comfortable Christianity, folks. We become too complacent. We need to seek out other people and let them know Jesus Christ can save them. Quit being lazy. Quit wasting God's time. Amen. Let's pray.